an unusual topic, I think, for talking about evolution, and yet you'll see how it all ties in. We want to talk about organic evolution has never been observed, and then lesson number 12, extraterrestrial life. Is E.T. real? Are there beings out there, intelligent life? Here are the rather unimaginative facts, but no verified form of life which originated outside of Earth has ever been observed. There have been UFO reports. There have been UFO contacts that have been reported. Close encounters of the third kind, which is where you actually meet with the alien. These have been reported, and these have been reported widely. And but there is actually no verification that these beings, whatever they were actually from another planet. I'll mention that, get into that a little bit more. But here's the thought. If life evolved on Earth, one would expect that the elaborate experiments sent to the Moon and Mars might have detected at least simple forms of life, such as microbes, that differ in some respects from life on Earth. If it's so easy for life to just pop into existence, why is Earth so special? Why didn't it happen on the Moon? Why didn't it happen on Mars? There was a widely publicized claim made by NASA in 1996 to have found fossilized life in a meteorite from Mars. Now, a meteorite sounds to me like something that landed on Earth. And how did they know it came from Mars? One of our godly scientists believes that when the flood happened and the fountains of the deep opened up, many of the rocks that were dislodged by the force of that power shot them up, pocking the face of the Moon, which is always toward us. When they got to the Moon, and not to land on it, but to fly around it, they found that the backside was fairly smooth. There were some craters, but not nearly like the face that's closest to the Earth. He thinks it shot up there and hit that. Many of the meteorites, he believes, actually flew out from Earth, made the big arc, and have come back and land on Earth. So they have not found any meteorites that were any different. There's iron, a lot of iron in these things, and so on. There's just Earth pieces coming back. But whether that's true or not, the widely publicized claims are now largely dismissed. A little more sober thinking about this and examination, they said, no, it's not fossilized life. Richard Carr, Requiem for Life on Mars, ? Support for microbes fades. A picture here, Viking 1 lander on Mars. Many people, including Carl Sagan, predicted the Viking landers would find life on Mars. And this is consistent with the theory of evolution, see? They reasoned that because life evolved on Earth, some form of life must have evolved on Mars. That prediction proved to be false. The arms of the Viking 1 lander sampled Martian soil. Sophisticated tests on these samples did not find even a trace of life. Sad, sad song there, but no life outside of Earth. So those who believe that life exists on distant planets usually base their belief on the following reasoning. 1. Life evolved on Earth. Because the universe is so immense and contains so many heavenly bodies, life probably began and evolved on other planets as well. Now, this has been a popular theory for over the last 150 years. And you'd think that if there was going to find some evidence anywhere, you'd find it in 150 years. Our culture has been so saturated with evolution that many uncritically believe it. They think it has been proven, you see. And it has not, as we've been saying Wednesday nights. As a result, they conclude that life must also have evolved on at least a few of the multitude of extraterrestrial bodies. However, this reasoning is flawed. It assumes that life evolved on Earth. That's a wrong assumption. Overwhelming evidence shows that life is so complex it could not have evolved anywhere. It's too complex. It can't just happen. Like tossing stuff in the junkyard and finding a computer happened by accident. And yet, more complex than that. So there are many stars, yet a very small fraction is known to have planets. However, the probability of just one living cell forming by natural processes is so infinitesimal, even considering the vast number of stars, the likelihood of life spontaneously occurring anywhere in the universe is virtually zero. By virtually zero, it means statistically. If you had that statistic against crossing the road and being alive, it means that nobody could ever cross that road and stay alive. It is such a small possibility. Now, obviously, it's popular science fiction, isn't it? Despite popular and influential science fiction books and films, there really is no scientific evidence for intelligent extraterrestrial life. Hundreds of millions of tax dollars have been spent trying to find life in outer space. And one of the reasons is, you see, we knew it all along, evolution. Evolution here, evolution there, evolution everywhere. Conditions outside Earth are more destructive than almost anyone suspected before space exploration began. Deadly radiation, poisonous gases, extreme gravitational forces, gigantic explosions, and the absence of proper atmospheres and chemical elements. When they first discovered and then explored these hot vents at the bottom of the ocean, thermal vents, I think they call them, and it bubbles up from heat from the center of the Earth. But they found an entire ecosystem, an entire life process thing going on down there, and that in conditions that no other Earth life can live there, but those, they are adapted to that. And one of the comments I continually heard when I was reading about these things is that, and so it may be that the other planets and so on, see, they adapted to things that couldn't help us. So, there are extreme gravitational forces, gigantic explosions, the absence of proper atmospheres. So just the temperature extremes in outer space would make almost any form of life either so hot it would vaporize, just, you know, or so cold it would be completely rigid, brittle, and dead. Unfortunately, these physical realities do not excite public imagination so much as science fiction and evolutionary stories. Let me introduce you to SETI, S-E-T-I. The SETI Institute in California's Silicon Valley began with NASA's SETI program. Over the years, other research disciplines have added to the Institute's portfolio, all unified by their relevance to the search for an understanding of life beyond Earth. Today, the Institute has approximately 100 scientists, as well as specialists in administration, education, and outreach. This is a picture of that. And all these big saucer things are listening for electronic signals. Such people search for signals from outer space that would imply an intelligent source. So these are radio telescopes linked with computers simultaneously search millions of radio frequencies because the stars, many of the stars, send out a radio frequency, beeps and so on, but they're just random. But they're looking for and having the computers analyze for non-random, non-natural extraterrestrial signal, any short sequence of information. So if they have something that sounds like Morse code, they find something that sounds like it could refer to a message, they think they've got it. They're doing all that, spending all this money, people dedicating their lives to this. Yet the long sequence of information in the DNA of every living thing is a signal from an intelligence, a vast intelligence, a creator. Almost all those searching for extraterrestrial life believe that this long sequence of information in the DNA evolved naturally in outer space. So, what are you going to do with that thinking? If life evolved in outer space as easily as some people believe, many extraterrestrial civilizations should exist, especially on planets around stars that evolutionists claim are older than our sun. So, maybe 1,000 years, thousands, maybe 1,000,000 years older than us. We had that long advance over us. Some civilizations should even be technologically superior to ours and have tried to reach us. Any superior civilization within our galaxy would probably have already explored our solar system, at least with robots, because we have no verifiable evidence of any of this. Intelligent extraterrestrial life statistically does not exist, certainly within our Milky Way galaxy. The fact is that there is nothing anywhere close, nothing in our Milky Way that has planets that could sustain life that makes any sense to us. So we're talking about assuming faster than light speed, the ability for them to traverse unimaginable distances just to come visit us. You know. So, stories. Almost all stories of unidentified flying objects, UFOs. Now, there has to be a better term for that, but what it means is that nobody can identify them because most of the things I recognize, it's an airplane, it's a helicopter, it's a blimp. Other than that, I can't identify any of them. So they're all UFOs to me. But people that know these things, they call them UFOs, have since been traced to natural or man-made causes. Even if technically advanced flying objects exist, they may have a terrestrial, earthly, not extraterrestrial origin. The United States, for example, developed and flew the superfast SR-71 aircraft and its prototype several years before even most senior military officers in the United States knew such technology was possible. So they were testing out something that they kept very secret, and anybody seeing it, even senior military officers, wouldn't have known what it was. Now, evidence that UFOs are from extraterrestrial civilizations, although not disproved, because how do you prove that it's not something, you know, has not been verified and usually relies on the truthfulness, the rationality, and the accuracy of a few alleged witnesses. Now, one Christian scholar who is deeply involved in the sciences and had military connections to the, Blue Report, what was it called? The Blue Book, that was a record of our aircraft interacting with UFOs. He was involved in all that, but he believes that many of the UFO reports are actually correct, that they actually happened, but he believes they are not extraterrestrial, but supernatural. And he based this on the fact that one of the things that happens is that the Air Force planes following these things will they go super fast, and then they make a right turn, which is impossible in our physics. If an airplane did that, at that turn, all the wings and everything would fly off the airplane, just disintegrate. So it's not responding to the physical laws of our universe. So he says he believes they are demonic and for the purpose of confusion and the relaying of information that is untrue. When these beings have talked to people that the report sounds reliable, like these are not people that wanted to get on TV, they just kind of had to drag out the story from them. They were saying the world is ending in such and such a time. You only have a few, you know, and that was long past and didn't happen. So just confusion. Let me show you where the scripture allows for that. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. These are titles of groups, of ranks of angels or demons here. We're fighting against them, so they're demonic. Principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places or in the heavenlies. This is actually the atmosphere is the place where the devil lives. He doesn't live in hell. Nobody's in hell yet. Then 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which is literally demons. James 3:15 speaks of this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, the word for demonic. So how do we get demon doctrine? How does that enter here, you see? He says that the demonic spirits can actually appear as good spirits. I think that's what was going on in the book of Job when this creepy spirit being had one of his friends' skin crawling, and he was scared, and he badmouths Job. I think that was a demon. So it may be that what's been going around is demonic, a supernatural thing. And those who are super involved in trying to make contact with that are risking more than they understand, actually dealing with demons. So, ask the big question, could God have created life elsewhere? Of course, God could do anything he chose to do. However, the Bible is clear that God's purpose of creating intelligent life was to have a loving relationship with them. If there is life, God had his hand in creating it, you see. Didn't happen by accident in evolution. If there is extraterrestrial life, God made them. If he made them, would he not make them for the same reason? To invite them into his family. A loving relationship demands that God would give each one free will to choose love. So they wouldn't have been much different. I mean, they could have three eyes and four arms or something, but they wouldn't be any different from us in that sense, that they would be lost and need to get saved. And they'd have with the will to accept or to sin. Adam's race sinned. Other life would, I would think, choose sin also. If they did, God would need to send Jesus to die for them as well. You see where this is leading. God, however, tells us that Jesus offered himself only once. Hebrews 10:10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For all is in italics, but this word once means just once. So the Bible clearly says everything that here and beyond, was created in the original 6 days of creation, not evolved. Exodus 20:11a, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. So if there is anything out there that we don't know about, and surely there must be, he made it. It also tells us that heavenly bodies were created for an earthly purpose, that life is here, and he put the things in the heavens for our sake. Go to the first mention of something in the Bible to understand its purposes. Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens." So reflected lights by planets and satellites, and then shining lights from the stars. "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." So sun and moon basically do that. "And let them be for signs," to tell us things are happening. "And for seasons." So we actually monitor the heavenly bodies to see where earth is and where the seasons are. "And for days and years." So older calendars were lunar months. And we have it left over where October, November, December are 8, 9, and 10. November and Dec. So we had 10 months. Then they had to move in, what is it, June and July and August, I think, named after the Caesars, Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. So they brought it in to expand it from a lunar year to a solar year. And all that means is they had to check out the lights in the sky to find out these truths. So, is there life in outer space? Besides the guys that are stranded in the space station because they took a Boeing up there, right? It is not likely, and certainly without any evidence. Many people enjoy speculating on this subject. Some want to believe. The poster on the Flying Saucer show. What was it?
X-Files,
right. It had a poster and had a UFO, and it says, "I want to believe. I want to believe." They want to believe. But usually they think of it as life that is superior to ours. And that was the comment when Robin Williams was playing Orc? Yeah, Mork and Mindy. And so, you know, here's this advanced civilization that comes, and it's some goof-off, you know, so crazy person. So all the violent science fiction characters were ganging up on Mork. "You're giving us a bad name." We hold there is little rational basis for this belief, rationally, scientifically, or even biblically. The biblical argument kind of sways me more than the scientific, because the scientific is just, we don't know that yet, you know. But the Bible says that if God did this, he would, it had to be part of the creation that we're familiar with, and it would have to be, and which, you know, cuts down all the whole millions of years of advanced civilization stuff. And what would be his purpose, you know? Living beings with souls? Could they be plant things that don't have souls? Doesn't seem to make any sense for the purpose of God. The way I see it is that God created because he wanted to create man, so he made the universe to set planet Earth in. He made planet Earth and developed it as the box to keep his pet people in. You know, this is where he set us up for us to live and sleep and have our being. So It's all man-centered in the sense that God created because he wanted to give us a chance of life and development. So the whole idea of extraterrestrial life doesn't seem to make sense.